Sure. So I will I'll jump in. It's funny, Derek and I were chatting this morning in advance of the podcast and saying, "Hey, do you remember what Build was?" So actually we refreshed ourselves a bit and went back just to kind of recap for your audience. The Build platform that we highlighted throughout the book is really built on the following. So Build, the B is be unified as an organization about working with the generation. Understand the complexities of the generation's environment. Identify those seeking to actually make a difference. Who are those millennials who are at the forefront and kind of thinking about where this change is moving. Leading through engagement rather than just simply participation. How are we truly engaging this group? As Derek was saying earlier, it's one thing to get out and to volunteer. It's another thing to connect that to social justice and awareness and kind of connecting to the deeper root issues that I think millennials are really driven by. And then the final element of Build is to determine your own millennial success as an organization before you begin. What is that standard for millennial success and engagement? I think so often what we're hearing from organizations is, they want to connect and engage, and they're always looking for that silver bullet to connect with the millennial generation. But you have to look deeper than just the communication strategy. You have to look more broadly, really, at strategic positioning and the approach that you're taking to connect with young people. And what we're finding is that really to successfully reach and engage and motivate millennials, you need to understand how they connect and link with each other, how they connect with brands, with influencers, with media platforms, with their devices. You have to understand what they share and who they trust and why they care and what they expect. And so I think it's about going to a deeper level than just, citing the latest study or the most eye-popping stats about how they spend their time and dollars, but truly to understand how those things are interrelated and interconnected. And that's where we're seeing the greatest impact. And Derek, I don't know if there's an example or two that you want to that you can think of to point to.
Yeah, I agree with Carrie. We're in an interesting point where when we developed the Build platform, a lot of it probably has become an adopted form of just how we operate with most organizations or companies that are interested in the cause and social issue space. And people tackle this millennial thing as if it is a millennial thing versus another. We'll get a call and we'll say, "Well, we want to engage millennials," or, "We want to do this and we want to do that." And we always sit back and say, "Okay, so can you tell me how you get anybody involved before we can even tackle this millennial thing?" And what's really interesting is the same membership associations that are struggling just getting members in general will try to attract millennials, but yet their membership has been declining for years. And they kind of look to millennials as either the ones that are going to save them or the ones that are going to bring them down. And Time and I always remind them that, let's take a look at this platform and the discussions around Build. Like, are you committed to engaging anybody? Are you uniform? Are you transparent? Are you these kinds of values? Do you represent those? And what's really challenging is that most of us don't look at it from those terms. We look at it as we have a millennial thing we need to solve. But if you look at the historical aspect of things, there probably was some stuff that needed to be worked on way before. It's hard to work on a niche audience until you understand the larger audience first. There are organizations that whether you're the girl effect, one of the things that's really interesting about their models or if you look at, say, your Liberty and North Korea's, your Pencils of Promise, all of those that began with millennials first in an environment, but they will be the first ones to tell you, we have to get the 80-year-old and the 18-year-old involved. And quite simply, why should we focus on a millennial audience versus just any audience who believes in the social issue? And they're right. You know, they're right. Now, there are some things that should be done to attract and engage millennials. That's good. But those things have now become sort of the norm in certain aspects because our cause engagement has evolved along the way. I mean, we all still attach to social issues. We all still attach to the empathetic side of us to help one another. And we all come at this space from a caring environment to feel good from ourselves and to help others in that. Now, we might do things and message different ways, but that fundamental notion still exists. And so the question for most organizations as they're looking at whether it's the Bills model or others is, how do we build the public awareness of what our social issue is, and then how do we get the public to adopt it to then publicly support it in some way, shape, or form, regardless if you're a millennial or you're anybody. And that's sort of, and we mentioned this in the book and in other places, that you need this journey that every individual has to go on, and you need those traits that build offers, authenticity, and uniform agreements, and all of that. But that journey has to be present for anybody, regardless. And I think those traits, as Carrie was mentioning, are attractive to any generation to get involved today in causes. I mean, everybody wants to feel like what their action is going to have, or the action that they give and participate in, is going to make some sort of difference for some person in some way, shape, or form. If you don't get a chance to feel that, regardless if you're 28 or you're, like I said, 82, it doesn't really matter. You're still going to not be interested in the cause.